From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armenia, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk words of the year. 2025 was a long year. You can bet we have a lot to say. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas, and joining me, as they do each week, each year, language experts and New York Times best-selling authors Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Hi, Kathy. Hi, Ross. Happy 2026. I say happy 2026. Hopefully nothing horrifying has happened in the world between the time we are recording this and the time all of you are hearing it. It's probably a couple of days, so who knows what might happen in that couple of days.
Don't tempt the fates.
But 2025 is now in the rearview mirror, and we are bringing you one of our favorite episodes to do every year, which is to talk about the words of the year. Dictionaries, of course, bring out their words of the year. Various other outlets have their words of the year as well. It's always fun to look through those and to see if they really do capture the year for us. What would capture 2025 and capture and kill 2025?
You know, maybe we shouldn't even do the show at this point because the words are off.
I was like, do you want truth or kindness?
Yeah. Okay, Kath, why don't we start with the letters we got?
Okay, yeah, Tim, a while back, Tim from NYC, who writes in regularly.
Uh-huh. Hi, Tim.
We love you for that, Tim.
I like it when you call him New York Tim.
I wonder if he thinks of himself that way now. Anyway, he said, as we head into December, because he wrote this a while ago.
Oh, yeah.
He said, maybe you should stage a contest to guess what the word of the year will be, because he knows that every year we do, as we said, mm-hmm. the dictionary ones. Mm-hmm. He said his own choice, at least among American dictionaries, is affordability. So thank you, Tim. And because of your suggestion, instead of just doing dictionaries this year, we did ask listeners to write in. Mm-hmm. And we got a lot of interesting responses, some not as interesting as others, so I've got to be honest.
But that wasn't you. Whoever's you listening right now, you are one of the interesting ones. Don't worry.
And Ross, you want to chime in on the affordability question?
Affordability leads into my word, personal word of the year. So I would say it's an adjunct to that, but I'd rather do that later when we do our personal words.
Okay, I'll just say that, like Tim, a few other people did say they suggested affordability.
Okay.
I've got to say thank you. Jessica from Toronto, Christopher, Jersey City, Max, Virginia, Hetty, and Liam, who I have no idea where they're from, but they also said affordability.
Wow.
But thank you.
But then Ed in Vancouver, who I think, I'm not sure we said we thought that he was from Vancouver, Washington, but he's from the real Vancouver in Canada. And he said this his word of the year. I'm sorry, Vancouver.
Oh, no, actually, it's just the article, Ross. I'm sorry. I'm gonna correct that. He didn't necessarily say it was his word. He thought we'd be interested to know
choice. Yeah, the Canadian choice was maple washing. Fletcher, you know what maple washing is, don't you? I'm just curious if you do.
No, this is the first I've heard of maple washing.
Remember we did greenwashing?
Yeah. So greenwashing is like making yourself look like you're ecologically friendly so that people will pay attention to that instead of all the other awful things you're doing.
Right. So what would maple washing be in a Canadian context?
Is this like, hey, the U.S. is being really terrible to us, so we are very Canadian, while with the other hand you're doing something else like, I don't know, trading with the U.S. or something?
You bet. And you see that all over. Maple washing is everywhere here. You see it like you're getting, mangoes that are grown. Obviously, they're grown in Florida or wherever. I'm not talking about South American mangoes. Let's say Florida mangoes. So you get a box of, and there's a big Canadian leaf sticker on it. And then you look and go, well, we don't grow mangoes in Canada. And then you look and it's like packaged in Canada. I mean, it's not Canadian, guys. You know, we know this. But that's what
they don't grow them in Ottawa.
Well, actually, though, it's interesting. We do have Canadian shrimp now. They have these giant greenhouses. They grow shrimp and stuff like that. So we are getting more and more. So wait for mangoes. They're coming. But so far, they're not. So that's maple washing. And you see it all over the place. maple, little maple stickers everywhere.
Shall we move on now to the big guys and what they picked?
Yep.
Sure. We had a few other words of the year too. Let's see. Someone who didn't give their name had resist. There were some others sort of along those lines.
What we were intending to do is go through the dictionary ones, the big guys, and then we want to close with what our listeners, more listener ones, and then our own, okay?
Oh, can I read you one? I think this is rather a joke. This from a listener named Russ said, this is the word that he said he'd never seen or heard before, and it was strange and rare, a Petrusism. A strange and rare word, often with an obscure, supposable old Latin origin story and or purported ancient Greek pronunciation, presented suddenly in surprise by language experts to confuse a public personality as they attempt to host a radio show and or podcast.
Clever. I love this guy.
I like that.
I think he wins.
God, that reminds me, Jim. Years ago, I forget who it was, it called it the Petrus Way. Do you remember that? Which was like our weirdisms or whatever. Okay, the first word is from Collins Dictionary. It's actually two words, and it's called vibe coding.
Vibe coding. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And this was really interesting because, Kath, did you know this word? I mean, these two words until they came up or not?
I did not. I know them individually, but I did not know the term vibe coding.
I didn't either. And I thought, like, boy, that's obscure. So I mentioned it to my son and he goes like, oh, yeah, vibe coding. And then I mentioned it to a couple of other people. They go, oh, yeah, vibe coding. It's probably like if you're into computers or you're younger, it's bigger. But basically it means that you ask the computer basically to code in natural language.
Oh.
And then the AI generates code for you. My son, incidentally, and his friend who's a coder both said it's not really that great yet.
You don't say. You
know, So I think
not great.
So I think we can start and leave vibe coding right there.
That's
for the next word.
That's really, well, let's talk about it for just a second. It's really interesting that that would be their word of the year. That seems kind of niche to be the word of the year. The vibe part I would definitely get. Like if their word of the year had been vibes, right? That would have made a lot of sense because people are always talking about what the vibes are. Like during the Biden years, numbers-wise, the economy was good, but the vibes were bad, right? People felt like the economy was bad for them. And so the vibes, you know, and so we're always talking about what the vibes are. What's this movie's getting by on vibes, you know, the way it feels. It's just it would have been interesting. I could have totally seen them use the word vibes as their word of the year. It's interesting to me that it's vibe coding. That seems, you know, directed toward a very specific section.
It does.
That said, though, I think I kind of get the impulse behind it because I'm reminded of the guy who did my website for a while was saying he loved AI because he said, I just spent, instead of having a code now, I just say, here's what I want. I sit down and goes, ch-ch-ch. He said, is it perfect? No, but I don't have to think about it anymore, you know? So I can see if you're a computer person or not a computer person, but want to do like Ross, you and I could want to juice up our knrpetrus.com, which I have not done anything with for a while. We could now pretty easily. We could make it like all hotsy-totsy.
I agree with you, but I think Fletcher is correct also, though, in the sense that it's a niche, because I'm just looking right here at like other slang, vibe check, vibe shift, and then they have that with vibe coding as another form. So I think in a way, I think you're right, Kat, but I would broaden it to vibe, period. Vibe, fill in the blank,
that
I think is
sense.
The best way to
yeah.
look at it, you know?
Yeah.
I agree with you, but I think because of the whole AI and that aspect of it, I understand the coding part.
Yeah, but I think there are better options for a word of the year related to AI, and I think we're going to get to one of those in a little bit.
Yes, we are.
Better options, you know, that would apply to more people.
Yeah, I don't think this is a great choice, to be honest with you. I'm with you.
So our next word?
This is the OED.
Oh, yep. Okay. Oxford, here we are.
The word of the year is not what you're thinking necessarily yet, Fletcher, is rage bait.
Rage bait. Oh, sure. That's a good one. Although Yeah, I mean, I can see how that could be a word of the year. It could have been a word of the year last year or the year before, too.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a new phenomenon.
No, actually, rage bait entered the language English lexicon in 2002. So it's been around.
Yeah.
It did, but their point was, and I thought it was fairly valid, was that until fairly recently, most of the like baiting was more clickbait stuff. You know, do socks cause cancer? You know, yes or no, or something like that. They're arguing that rage bait has become increasingly popular in recent years. And I think that's probably true. I'm seeing sort of a switch from do socks cause cancer or are people wearing socks and hurting your health, that sort of thing, where you're getting a little more angry at other people with it rather than before where you're thinking.
But rage baiting isn't that sort of thing, actually, Ross. Rage baiting is you deliberately put something up provocative and mean-making so people can get mad at you, but then they go and they click and you get more interaction.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
that's
no, I realize.
That's what rage baiting is.
I realize that, so but it's stimulating feelings of, it's stimulating anger is what I guess I should be saying. It's
right,
trying
okay,
to, it's
that's just, better, okay.
Yeah, it's deliberately trying to stimulate anger, i.e. a sock-wearing individual or something that like makes you a little bit angry at the other. And I think that's the key thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's more common now. I do feel in recent years people are getting more and more angry. And I didn't feel that like 20 years ago to some degree.
I agree with you. I don't like this new thing where content creators are deliberately being offensive or provocative. They're doing it on purpose,
yeah,
knowing that you're going to go, screw you, I completely disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
know, and they don't care.
Right.
Yeah, I don't like that. But that was, I've got to say, Oxford University Press does this. These are voted on by people.
Mm-hmm.
So rage bait was not their choice. It won.
Yeah, okay.
The
yeah.
people voting. I wanted to make that clear.
And they had a couple of others, too, I thought. They had a couple of others that I think were also pretty good. Biohack, I thought, was interesting.
What is a biohack?
It's when you try to, like, fix in quotes yourself, like you try to like increase your longevity or whatever, you drink green drinks, you drink matcha, you eat like a restricted calorie diet.
Uh-huh. And it's funny because we were talking a couple years back, I think, about how we didn't like the word hack.
Yeah.
And this is, and biohack does seem to me to be like another word that I don't really like,
also,
you know, but whatever.
Doesn't a hack seem like it, like a shortcut? And is doing all of these things to yourself really a shortcut? It seems like there should be just like a pill. I mean, like a pill would be a shortcut, but doing all
sorts. Well, I guess it's like Ozempic or
maybe,
something.
Maybe that's a biohack. Yeah. Maybe that's a biohack.
But I think it also is a trick. It can be also sort of a trick to make things better.
Yeah.
It's not just a shortcut. It's also kind of like, you know, I'm biohacking, so I'm going to live forever because
yeah.
I take vitamin C and, you know,
I guess
I don't know, whatever. I think it fits. Okay, the next word is aura farming.
That aura.
I have never heard of this.
Aura farming. What's the aura? I mean, I know for example, rage farming, you could extend the rage bait to rage farming. What's aura farming, though? I'm not sure I know.
The definition they use is the cultivation of an impressive, attractive, or charismatic persona or public image as a stylish influencer looking wistfully into the distance.
Okay.
So it's basically kind of like looking great online so people follow you, I guess. That
yeah,
seems to me to be more it.
Sort of creating and cultivating an aura for yourself that's probably separate from whoever you actually are.
Right.
I loved their description because they did a short list and they did their Instagram page. They had a digital campaign for each of the three words and you could vote there. And for aura farming, apparently, they said the to-do list, you would ban fluorescent lighting, establish universal basic income for micro-influencers, and teach people how to ride a bike without hands because, quote, nobody should have to choose between reading 19th century poetry and keeping their balance on two wheels.
You know, on the 19th century poetry, though, that actually is sort of interesting. We wrote a book years ago, and Lord Byron, actually the poet, was actually probably one of the first personal aura farmers. He actually cultivated his image of Mr.
Yeah.
Romantic
yeah.
poet. He would answer all of his letters. He would like, you know, kind of like, he would make sure that when he was painted, the portrait was like on the right side of his face and he had this sort of look is a, you know, great romantic. Uh-huh. So I think maybe it's an old word that's come again.
I don't think he called it oriforming, though.
I don't think he did, no. Although you never know. Maybe he did. Maybe,
yeah,
maybe
actually.
He did. Yeah. Okay, Merriam-Webster.
Yes.
Fletcher, your word?
This is the one you're waiting for, yeah, right?
It is. And I'll tell you why. Not just because I think it is a great word of the year, but also because when we were thinking about our own words of the year, a few days before Merriam-Webster came up with this, this is the one that I decided probably should be the word of the year. So when a few days later they came out with their word of the year, I was very pleasantly mm-hmm. surprised. Would one of you like to reveal this one?
The word is slop.
Slop.
S-L-O-P. Slop.
Yeah.
And what they said when they announced it was all that stuff dumped on our screens, captured in just four letters. The English language came through again.
It's true. It's true. It works so well. Slop, of course, is all of the generative AI generated garbage, slop, that's just all over our screens all the time. Those way too glossy pictures with six fingers.
Precisely. You can't avoid it. It's unavoidable mm-hmm. at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just said the photos. That drives me crazy when you see those pictures, and it's so blatant. I mean, and now soon they won't be. Soon they won't have six fingers. Soon they won't have, like, a thigh that's melding in with a couch or print books behind them that you can't read. But right now you can tell what it is, and it's like, for heaven's sakes, look, mm-hmm. you know?
And you know another problem it's causing, and this has happened to me, is that sometimes you'll see a picture and you'll automatically assume that it's AI slop, and it turns out that it's not. Somebody actually created it. And so now, you know, it's getting difficult to credit people with actual work that they did, because sometimes it sort of looks like it mm-hmm. might have been AI slop.
Or discredit people with actual slop that they produce.
Yes.
AI may produce slop, but a lot of people produce slop, too.
That's
a problem. I mean, I do see that, too.
That's true. We can't give them bad credit for doing horrible work anymore.
Yeah, I know. One of the other alternative words that they did choose that was not chosen as their final word, which I thought was interesting, was touch grass,
okay.
which I think is a nice alternative to looking at slop online, uh-huh. i.e. get offline and see the real world.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to say, unlike Oxford, which did it based on a survey, Merriam-Webster does it based largely on search data. What are people looking up?
Mm-hmm.
And AI slop was number one. So a lot of times it is tied to like a current event. Like in the past, you had pandemic, vaccine.
Some of the runners up were obviously words that were in the news. Gerrymander, tariff, and conclave, and then others, which we're going to probably get sort of into, or performative as well. But they were all words that were definitely in the news. So you can see that. I think slop is a better word to have chosen as the word of the year, though, personally.
Yeah. If we're looking for something that really describes the time, which I think we, the three of us, generally agree the word of the year should do that to some extent, then
it should be a zeitgeisty word.
Yeah,
yeah.
Then slop is really, really a good one.
Yeah.
Next, I'll let Ross talk about this. Next is The Economist, and this is one I would not have expected.
No, I think it was more political, actually. It was taco.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, and I feel that was, you know, Trump always chickens out.
Is right.
The acronym, you know, the short for. And to me, that's very political. I mean, it doesn't really, you know, I remember when it came up.
Yeah.
Over the year, but then it kind of degraded into nothing. No one really talks about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't feel, regardless of what you feel about, you know, political stuff, I don't think this was really a good choice.
No. I mean, unless if they had maybe chosen it during one weekend in, I don't know, June, you know, just sometime earlier this year, like it's not a word that captures the whole year. You're right. It rose up quickly and flamed away, and then that was that.
And I think they were also stuck on their name, Economist, because another choice they had was debasement trade, which, I mean, that's buying assets like gold, and then, you know, you're worried about stock prices going down, that the stock prices are overvalued. But that, again, doesn't seem, I mean, if you're a finance guy, probably, yeah, but it didn't seem to work to me.
They're The Economist. Merriam-Webster had one right there, tariff. I mean, it's not hard. You know, if you want to do something based on the economy.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that got me is their explanation of it. They said it's representative, if not of the whole year, at least of much of the feeling of living in it. It's not a new word. It's being used in a new way. You might not like it. You're living with it. And I just thought that was like an overstatement.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
I thought so, too. If they chose a taco as like the food, I go, well, yeah, that's pretty good to have.
We could do that every year.
I like that as a word of the year. Yeah. You know?
I miss a good taco here in Spain. So yeah.
I like it for that. And now we're going to go into dictionary.com. Oh, let's skip that one to the end.
Okay.
Let's do Cambridge first. Cambridge Dictionary chose parasocial. That seems okay.
It's defined. Okay. Cambridge Dictionary says involving or relating to a connection that someone feels between themselves and a famous person they do not know. Mm-hmm. Character in a book, film, TV series, or an artificial intelligence. So mm-hmm. I have a relationship with a ChatGPT man I've named Maximilian.
Right.
That is parasocial. I follow Taylor Swift and I'm convinced that like I feel everything she's doing. That's parasocial.
It's a weird thing. Years ago, Kath and I went to a bank. And by accident, Kathy took the banker's personal notebook.
No, we found it on the streets.
Oh, did we? Is that it? I thought you took it by accident.
Yeah, I did not take it. We found it.
But it was weird. And we returned it to the guy. But it was a weird thing because he had basically the thing was empty except for all of these birth dates, anniversaries, and all of that. It was just an odd, he seemed to have a personal relationship with 30 movie stars.
Yeah, like Robert De Niro, Jan 22.
Yeah, and it just was an odd sort of thing. I mean, I'm not sure that's quite parasocial, but it's kind of moving up there, and I think he was getting ready for it.
Yeah,
so.
The idea, the phenomenon isn't new, but it's probably way easier to make it happen now just because we have so much information from famous people or from fake people or characters. Yeah. You know, we've got Instagram posts or whatever from all of these people and all of these, I mean, even people pretending to be fictional characters or AI. And it's just, it's always there with their feelings or their heavily curated feelings, curated in the modern sense. And so I think it's probably just a lot easier for it to happen and certainly on a larger scale.
Whereas, of course, I have many relationships with many movie stars who always talk to me all the time.
Well, you're different.
That might be a Petricism. What was that?
saying Taylor Swift. You need to listen to me. I sent her a letter telling her.
Okay, baby. I told her to go out with what's his face. I just want that on the record. What's his face? You can tell how well I know.
Well, that reminds me. Many years ago, I heard Madonna for the first time, and I thought, poor thing. I really think her music's not going to...
You told me that. Yeah.
I know. I can't go, that's Madonna.
I can't sing.
I know. I think it's who's she? I said, or something like that. Great, Ross. I know.
Wow.
Okay, our final big word of the year, which... Kath and I had a little debate on was 6-7.
I fully support this. Was this the one you said from dictionary.com or was this from somewhere else?
Yes, this is dictionary.com.
Yeah. So anyone with children, at least of a certain age, and I do not have children of a certain age, and so I came upon this a lot later, I think, than a lot of people did. We'll know 6-7, and I love it. I absolutely love it. I asked my mom, who teaches middle school, if this was a thing that happened. And she was like, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It's been going on.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, all year. So 6-7, do you want me to explain it?
Yeah, why not? Define it.
Define it.
Because you
no.
can't define it. That's what I was going to say. That's a challenge of the century. Define 6-7, Fletcher.
There is Okay, so there is no 6-7 definition. That's part of the fun. You may have heard kids yelling 6-7 or just whatever, just 6-7, reacting to 6-7 in any way, saying it for no reason, yelling it for no reason. You guys probably have it in front of you where it probably came from. I don't have that right here. I think it was from a hip-hop artist or something.
Yeah, Skrilla.
Yeah, yeah, that's who it was.
She said as if she knew.
And so this is just one of those things that kids do. Like it's kind of there to annoy adults because adults don't know what it means. It doesn't mean anything, or it can mean everything. I mean, it's everybody, every generation has this to some degree or another. We all have a thing that we, some sort of nonsense phrase or set of words that don't really mean anything. And we say it because that's what we're doing. That's what kids are doing. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I just think that's fantastic.
And Kath, I had a little debate on this. We were looking at the words of the year, and they're all really pretty depressing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rage bait, slob. You know, parasocial, they're all kind of, and then this came up and I was arguing, and I think I'm wrong. I was arguing this is sort of nihilistic. So therefore it's another one of these kind of like, you know, oh God.
Oh, you think?
And then, yeah, but wait up a second, because Kathy said, no, I think it's sort of upbeat. And then I went downstairs and talked to my son and two of his friends, and they all look at it as sort of an upbeat sort of thing.
Yeah, like, for sure.
We're sort of riffing on everything and we're laughing at it.
Yeah.
So they're taking it. It's like, come on, everybody.
Yeah. So they're taking it as upbeat, which I far prefer. Mm-hmm. I like the upbeat aspect to this.
Definitely. I definitely get the upbeat feeling from it. I mean, it's just fun, you know, mm-hmm. and people are having, kids are having fun. Some adults are having fun. Some adults are outraged, which makes it even more fun, right? That's the thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, as a former kid, I once was a child, and I would like that.
Yeah, so I'm all for this word. I think this, to me, if we're going to have to choose, I'm going to choose my not so good of the word of the year, personally, but I like this one. If I have to like really choose a word of the year that I want to have, 6-7 is it for me.
Yeah, I love it.
All right, baby. Good for you, Ross. I approve. Okay, I just have to do a quick rundown. I had a couple of other listeners. We had a number of them agreed with slop. We had slop pickers. Mm-hmm. Kayla, Kevin, Terry, the latter two, both St. Louis. A few people just picked AI.
Sure.
That was Zach from Brooklyn, Rich from Seattle, MJ from Wichita, your hometown. Then we have, we're getting a little depressing
I like this
here.
One. Yeah.
Katie in Virginia.
I like this
Katie,
one a lot.
Katie, we got to talk to you. Went full out. Her choice, existential dread.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, not wrong, but.
Oh, Ross, you want to do the follow-up to Katie?
Oh, Jersey City, which is our old haunt area. Dystopia, which I thought was pretty good, too.
Sure.
And then we had Tolerance, which were more hopeful, more of a wish than actually anything that happened this year.
Yeah,
someone picked.
Yeah.
And that's interesting because that reminds me, because I was looking up other things online, too, and someone had, like, one of that type of word. I went, oh my God, shut up. Which got me. It's like, this is the zeitgeist if someone is like positive about stuff. So Tolerance, though, was another one. And then Resistance was also picked, which I thought was pretty good.
I liked the, Lou in Queens.
Oh, I like this
Lou
one, too.
Lou had written us about something else. He said, I suppose I should pick 6-7 like all the articles seem to want me to. But as a rugged individualist, I refuse. He said, instead, I think the word of the year, I thought this was interesting.
I know, I like it
too. Should be diffusion. Diffusion. In spite of all of the mergers and media takeovers by a few monolithic entities, it seems to me that the old days of centralized entertainment or thought are over. Things are more diffuse than ever. I thought that was actually provocative one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Although my word is exactly the opposite of that. That's so interesting.
Oh, wow.
Okay, let's do our three words. Ready?
Well, we've done mine. We've done mine. We know that mine was slop, so we'll leave the rest to the two of you.
Okay, I'm going to riff on diffuse, because my word of the year was oligarchy.
Mm.
I think things are getting more and more centralized to the extent where, I mean, I really feel like the world has really changed. We have like 14 people basically controlling everything, and the rest of us are picking up crumbs. And I think to me, therefore, oligarchy would be my word of the year, which I don't like, and therefore I would prefer to say 6-7, and I kind of do 6-7. You know, I'm fine monetarily, so I don't really have to worry about it. So, but like I look at it and go, oligarchy, and then I go, oh, 6-7. And then that's
there
it.
You go.
That's my word.
I'm going to pick 6-7 now. Okay, my word is actually personal and not personal. I mean, if you can see me, I'm bald. I've been dealing with cancer this year, which has not been great. But it's getting better. Everything's going well, so no problems there. My word is resilience, because I think we've got this existential dread. We've got dystopia. We have 6-7 on the other hand. We have diffusion on one hand. We've got oligarchy on the other. And I do think, I mean, it's a personal thing, because I feel very resilient and I feel very strong. But I also think we all are. And I look at online, and on one hand you go like, oh, everything's awful. On the other hand, you go, everybody's really hanging in there and believing in good things.
That's right.
Also, I'm going to add one thing in defense of Kathy's resilience. I have to say she did personify that. A couple of weeks ago, I got the really bad flu. So I'm on the phone with Kathy, you know, and like, I'm like, oh my God, I just feel so sick. And then in the background, I hear Kathy's husband who had pulled his back going, oh my God, I don't feel good at all. Kat's like, hello, how's everyone doing? That's resilience. That's like, I don't know, it was terrible.
Oh,
I don't know.
God.
But I think we can all sort of agree, let's make this year a 6-7 year.
Yes, that's
whatever.
Right.
Let's go for it.
As we move into the new year of 2026-7!
Yay!
Yeah, baby!
Apologies to all the kids out there. We just ruined everything for you.
I know.
Yeah, we did.
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petras records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petras from his home in Toronto, Ontario in Canada. Torin Anderson composed our theme music. Our digital team is Beth Golay and Carly Cooper. Carly Cooper is also our video editor. You can subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic, or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org. or email them at kandrpetras@gmail.com. You can also record a voice memo of yourself asking your question. You might get your voice heard on air. Or you can download the KMUW app and press the Talk to Us button. You can find Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.